Hi, and welcome to A Touch on Relationship right here on 99.9. For the next 30 minutes, you will have the unique opportunity to get spiritual wisdom and guidance on today's most pressing relationship and issues and challenges. And if you want to listen to today's broadcast, if you have any questions or private requests, call in at 706-524-8230. That number is 706-524-8230. Or if you want to support the ministry of Pastor Rivers, you can do so online at www.gastonriversministries.org, or you can contact Pastor Rivers by mail at A Touch on Relationship, P.O. Box 106, Waynesboro, Georgia, 30830. That contact by mail is A Touch on Relationship, P.O. Box 106, Waynesboro, Georgia, 30830. So prepare your hearts and mind to be blessed, encouraged, and inspired today with godly wisdom on relationships with Pastor Gaston Rivers on today's broadcast on A Touch on Relationship. My topic is leaving and cleaving. And the reason I say that, because the Bible spoke in the book of Genesis, I believe it's Genesis, the second chapter, in the book of Genesis, and it's dealing with, like I say, you know, those two words there, and those two words, Genesis 2 and 24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, most of the time, people think that when you get married, that right then you're made one. You're not made one. God has to make you one. God has to join you together. All you have, a lot of times you have people that, so well, you know, I met this guy, I met this girl, and they're not really delivered, they're not really saved. Well, the Bible teaches us not to be unequally yoked. But sometimes you got people that come to you, and my wife, she can witness to this show. Sometimes you got men, you got women that'll go to church long enough to get you. They'll go to church long enough to get you. Come on, they'll tell you they saved, they'll tell you they love God, they'll tell you they got God, and before you know it, your emotions is all involved with them. Before you, a lot of times you're not even praying, you're not even seeking God, you're not even crying out to God saying God is just the right one. And that was the only thing that protected me and her, was the fact how that, you know, many times she said she had met guys and sometimes they appeared to be saved, but there were certain things that when a person's not saved, it's going to eventually come out. It's going to eventually come out. And so that's the danger that you got to be aware of, you know. And a lot of times people think, you know, when you get this person and maybe they're addicted to gambling, they're addicted to alcohol, they're addicted to pornography, and you get this person and you think by you praying with them, you talking with them, and you working with them, you know, and you've been going out with them for like 6 or 7 months, and all of a sudden you say, well, you know what, I feel like if I marry this person, they will really stop, because if I be around them all the time, praying with them, working with them, you have to understand that you are not the anointing. Come on, am I right? You have to understand you're not the Holy Ghost. You're not the power of God. Come on, am I right? Amen. And, you know, to be a witness to it, you can ask someone that's married to alcohol, and they might really love, but they'll tell you that, you know what, it don't work like that. And this is why it's so important when you meet someone and they're bound by an addiction, bound by a stronghold, don't work on them just so they can become your spouse. I remember going to the prison, and you know, you have to do 8 hours of training. So went to the prison. There was a lot of, and I'm not biased, there was a lot of ladies that came there. We was going to a male prison. So these ladies, they came there. Some of them was pastors, some of them was leaders, some of them was all kind. And one the instructor had to tell them was, listen, you're not coming here to get your husband. She had to tell them, you're not coming here to get your husband. Because a lot of times we have in our mind, you know, if I work with you and pray with you, if I work with you and pray with you, I believe just by you being around me that you're going to get delivered. It don't work like that. There's first got to be a willing mind. And sometimes there's strongholds. That person needs deliverance. Come on, am I right? Amen. And so I want to just kind of go into this lesson, because, like I said, whatever happened to you in your past, while you was a child, maybe even before you met your spouse, it shouldn't affect you. It shouldn't affect you. But many times I'm going to show you today through the Word of God how it can affect you. I'm going to show you through the Word of God how to even medically, you know, what you encountered, you know, what's going on in you. Sometimes it can be something that was handed down to you. And I want to deal with that because a lot of time people get married and then, you know, as we say, all hell break out and people say, well, I'm just being me. I'm like my mom. I'm like my daddy. And this is why, you know, Jesus spoke to Nell. He said, except you be born of the Spirit. What's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the Spirit is spirit. And so we know from that particular scripture that if you have a mother, father, you're born of them. Naturally, you're going to have attributes like them. You're going to have traits. You're going to have genes like them. And so a lot of times for you to understand what kind of man and woman you're going to have, you need to see their mama. You need to see their daddy. You need to see some of their families. Come on, am I right? And you got to accept the fact, well, they are different. They might be different, but they have those genes. And that's what you're going to have to realize, you know. And so a lot of times when you're single, you know, you have an opportunity now to get yourself together before you meet your spouse. Come on, am I right? You might can say to yourself, I'm just like my mama. And maybe mom or maybe dad has some good traits. But you got to make sure that the traits they had are Christ-like. You got to make sure that the traits they had are part of God. I never seen my father. And I don't feel sorry by no means, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you know, I never seen my dad. I wouldn't know what he looked like. So everybody would tell me, you look just like your dad. If you don't see your dad, look in the mirror. I said, okay. You know, and Pastor Schaefer, just because I never seen my daddy didn't exempt me from having the same strongholds in my life that he had. It didn't exempt me because I inherited it. It was hereditary. There was genes that he passed on. There was genes he passed on. There was genes he passed on. There was genes my mom passed on. My mother was a praying woman. She was a woman that fasted and prayed, sought God. But she had hang-ups. She had stuff going on in her life. And she really loved God. So that part I got, but I also got the fear part. There was something that happened to one of my brothers way before I was born. And it started a demon of fear in her. And from then on, she was just fearful of me having a BB gun, fearful of me swimming. I mean, it was just fear. And I didn't know what was going on because, you know, you trust your mom. You trust your parents. You know what I mean? And so, but she started putting this fear in me. So when I became a certain age, I was afraid of darkness. So my sister, one of my sisters, my baby sister, she was kind of comical. So if she wanted to do something crazy, she would lock me up in the closet and knew I was afraid because I was dealing with this spirit of fear. But it was hereditary. And it came on my mother because of something that happened to my brother. And so later on, you know, a lot of times you don't even know what you're dealing with until you get exposed to the truth. And this is why it's so good to be around a deliverance ministry. I tell people all the time, you know, you come to the deliverance ministry and you get delivered and then you try to go back to where you come from. It don't work. Because what happened, you have to be taught how to walk in deliverance. Once you get delivered, you got to be taught how to walk in deliverance. Amen? The scripture says when the unclean spirit leaves out, it eventually comes back. And when it finds that house swept and garnished, the word garnished means decorated. I got it decorated with hallelujahs on the outside. I got it decorated with Jesus and praise God. And I got my skip. I got my But if I don't have no word in me, if I'm not full of God, come on. So let's go to the word. Listen what it says. Then we'll read it again. So the first thing that he's saying in Genesis 2 and 24 is that you're going to have to leave. Now, your father and mother are the most important people that God knows. He tells us to honor our mother and father. So they're some of the most important people. But he says you need to leave. The word leave need to relinquish. You need to let go of that. Some people have a problem with you know, they don't understand how to, when it comes down to your marriage, your wife and your children, your husband, they take the place, you know. My mother was close to me, but over the years, my wife have taken her place. Now, she's still I still have a mother. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But when time comes, my wife is going to always have she's going to be the number one woman in my life. And so a lot of times people get that mixed up. So God is telling Adam, he says, Adam, I'm setting a standard. Now, we understand that many of us have mothers and fathers. And so for you to leave, that means you got to say, God, I need to search my heart. I need to search my family out. I need to find out more about my dad. Find out more about my mother. Where is these migraine headaches coming from? Where is this suicide spirit coming from? Where is this violent spirit coming from? Come on, where is these, all this stuff I'm encountering? A lot of times it's hereditary. There are genes that you picked up. And so a lot of times, you know, you don't want to admit it. You say, I'm like my mother. You can't afford to be like your mother. You can't afford to be like your daddy. When I lived in Florida, I saw three generations didn't go to prison. I seen the grandson go to prison doing drugs. I seen the father go to prison doing drugs. And I seen the granddaddy. That's what you call a cycle. A hideous demonic cycle. No, so I want to ask you, you might be the one that God will use to break that cycle of getting divorced, tearing up homes, you know, beating on women, beating on men. I remember reading a poem about a young boy that his father was hooked on crack cocaine. And he says, how can I get away from it? How can I get away from it when my daddy is my future? Oh, I feel that. Come on. See, and this is what we talk about. You can break this here. But many times the first step is acknowledging this is wrong. Psalms 51, David said, I acknowledge my sin, the ever before me. The whole time David was doing what he was doing, God was dealing with him. One of the things that I teach more than anything is you need a checker. Look at somebody and say a checker. A checker is something that checks you when you're wrong, when you're saying things and doing things. Even if you're acting like your mama, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God should come up and say, but you need to be like Jesus. That was the thing that kept my marriage together, is I had a checker. I had God on inside. God rebuked me some years ago. He said, son, you can't continue to go and teach on marriage if you don't tell the people they got to have me to do what you're teaching. He said, because if they don't have me, he said, they can't do what you're teaching. He said, that's why I said a threefold cord is not easily broken. That means you got to have God in your marriage, God and your spouse in you. The Bible says, except the Lord build. So we have to understand that the way God builds is he starts a foundation. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what would the righteous do? So what does the enemy do before you get married? He starts plaguing your life with things. And many times we take it for granted. We take it for granted how to eat before you get married. You become a wife, a husband, whatever you're going to do in life, it starts the day you were born. And you start developing it into the woman or the man that you're going to be. And along that way, you're just like a mobile home. You know how they take a mobile home and it's a double wide and they take it apart. And sometime on that way to the lot, shingles come off, door hinge. I mean, stuff just fall off that trailer. So many times on your way to becoming who God wants you to be, on your way to meeting your spouse, it's all kind of junk you get in your trunk. Come on, am I right? And so when you meet this person, long as you by yourself, long as you seeing them every now and then, but when we put y'all in confined, close area, the monkey come out. Come on. The monkey come out. Come on, am I right? You just like my wife said, she says, I wasn't like this till I met you. I said, I wasn't either. But it was in us all the time. That was hereditary spirits. That was stuff we picked up. The Bible says evil communication corrupts what? Good manner. So a lot of times, maybe you didn't pick it up from your father. Maybe you picked it up from your uncles, your aunties, your cousins, your brothers. We pick up a lot of stuff on our way to meeting the woman or man that God got for us. And a lot of times it's buried inside of us. And you wonder why my marriage can't work. Why we always, you know, and I remember God telling me some years ago, I guess it got around 25 or 30 years, he said, son, he said, there's an area in your marriage that the devil knows he can always count on you to yield to it. I said, Lord, I'm resting. Woo! I said, God Almighty. Now, if I had not had the Holy Spirit talking with me constantly, see, a lot of times you have to understand that in marriage, you know, sparks gonna fly. Now it's kind of weird, but the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And so it could be that one of y'all could be sharp and the other is dull. So at the end of that, when the curtains go down, you laying down, if you got the Spirit of God will come to you and begin to talk to you and tell you what's going on in your life. I remember one time we was going through, Pastor Schaefer, we was going through so hard in our marriage. So, you know, I've always prayed, always fast, always cried out to God because I felt like that if I really needed to know something, God could tell me. And I remember going to sleep that day. I had cried and travailed. I says, God, please tell me what's going on with this marriage. And God showed me two bridges. It was a beautiful, nice bridge. And he showed me a bridge that had so many holes till it was almost like, and I saw myself going across that raggedy bridge. And God began to say, he said, son, you choose it. You're choosing your path. You're choosing the wrong decision, the wrong choices. God will always reveal to you what's going on in your marriage. And this is what I'm doing here today, is showing you how many times you can have hereditary. Now, to give you an example, hereditary spirits are genes that are within you. You know, I believe it takes like 46, 23 from the male, 23 from the female. And they say how the male is the one that determines the sex, so ladies don't get mad at your man. Because we know God is the one that's going to determine. Am I right? But that's what the doctor said. And so you have to understand, a lot of times you got to be honest with yourself. And you got to say, why am I feeling like this about my husband? Why am I feeling like this about my wife? I got a good man. I got a good woman. Why am I always just looking at them cross-eyed? You know, sometimes it could be there are spirits that are being released in the atmosphere, and then there are spirits that are hereditary. And so you have to examine this thing. You know your parents. You know, you know, a lot of times I was brought up in a home where, you know, Lord bless my mother's soul, but she was dominated. She was a controlling woman. And the reason why I was controlling, because she didn't trust the man she had, so she felt like if I could control him, I could keep him in line. And that's the kind of marriage I saw. I saw marriage where men were cheating on their wives. That's what I saw. So here I am, I'm 17 years old. A lot of people have not been properly trained how to be a good spouse. A lot of people haven't been exposed to a good marriage. But yet, you know, I say, you know, you mean it's a junkyard dog, but yet you want to be married. You want to be loved. Come on, am I right? You have to be honest with yourself. Sometimes you have a lot of hang-ups. Sometimes you're struggling within yourself. If you're fighting emotions and different things, then you want to, am I ready for me? Am I marriageable? So we both came from two different backgrounds. She came from a background that prepared her in the natural. I came from a background where my mama said, you my baby, you ain't grown. When you finish high school, you still gonna be a baby. Come sit on my lap. So I was not prepared. And yet I had a whole lot of hereditary stuff going on. I didn't know the first thing about it. So the day I got married, I became a father and a husband the same day. Because she had a child, and I had to be a father. So I'm saying, God, you got to help me. So the way God helped me, he allowed me to be in a deliverance ministry that had a strong marriage ministry. And that was the thing that saved our marriage. With me having a mind for the Holy Ghost to check me. And let me move right along. Now I want to go to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 24th verse. Listen what it says. I'm going to just kind of Matthew 7 and 24. It says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Notice what he says there. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine, and I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now listen to me. Whether you're single or married, we have to understand that every one of us got to have a foundation. Other words, we got to have something that holds us together or either something that tears us apart. There's only two types of, and there are people that's going to work through their marriage, and there are people that's going to give up on their marriage. And what caused you to work through your marriage is when you learn to dig down and begin to say that, God, it's not only my spouse, but it's me. And this is why it's so important that when you're single, that you start working on yourself and getting yourself prepared. You know, if you know you have a problem with pressure, you know, if you have a problem with authority on your job and you're single, you're not ready for marriage. You know, if you have a problem about being responsible, about taking care, as a man, you're not ready. And so a lot of times, you know, single people are not really prepared. Sometimes, you know, our emotions get caught up. We get infatuated. We get in love, and our hormones start moving. And, man, we ain't think about no bills. We ain't think about no money. We ain't think about no house. We just got that feeling, you know, I just know this the one. And I'm not going to say that it's not, but I'm saying you've got to sit down and examine yourself and say, do I really have what it takes to make a marriage? What am I struggling with? What am I dealing with? What kind of demons? What kind of elements? What kind of forces? What kind of principalities am I dealing with? All right, now we dealt with the hereditary. Now let's move on a little further. A lot of times we've dealt with what you call being molested. Those of you familiar with David's daughter, Tamar. Now that door was open because her father had a lust spirit that turned into a spirit of adultery. That door was open. He gave the enemy an occasion. So you have to understand that a lot of times there are curses that came down because there are certain things maybe your granddaddy did or your parents did, and maybe you wasn't even aware of it, or maybe you were, and maybe you said, well, I'm not going to do that. But sometimes those kind of things can be curses. Now, Tamar, she has nothing to do with it. But because her daddy, the Bible says, you've given the enemy an occasion. And he says, the sword shall never leave your home. So that was the type of judgment that followed the sin that he done. And so this is why it's so important sometimes when you come to a deliverance session and they begin to ask you about different things concerning your parents, they're trying to expose you to certain things that might be affecting your future now. Are you agreeing with me? And so this is why it's so important that you understand. Tamar had nothing to do with it. So we see how there was a lust spirit released against her brother Amon that came from her father. What was that? It was hereditary. Am I right? It came down the line. So you have to understand, you know, you might be embarrassed about the fact maybe your mother, your father have turned to be lesbian or homosexuality, but you got to understand, God, I got to deal with this spirit. Lord, I got to denounce it. I've got to cancel it out. God, I got to do warfare with this thing. Because I don't want it to come down to my grandkid. I don't want it to come down and affect my great-grand. One of the things that caused me to fight for my marriage more than anything was I knew that if we got divorced, we were starting a demonic cycle. I knew it. I knew that it said that if Maybell and Gaston were Christians and they had to get a divorce, it was sending the wrong kind of message. I knew that. And I knew that who told us it wasn't the matchmaker, but it was God. You know, you got matchmakers. You got people put people together. And you got to be careful about people like that. But God put us together. And I knew that God don't make no mistake. But there was some deliverance I needed. And I'm going to deal about, one of these nights I'm going to deal with adjustment. But there was a lot of deliverance I need. There was a lot of things she had in her, things that have happened in her past that caused her to act a certain way. And some of you are dealing with the same thing. Tamar, a whole lot, David's daughter, a whole lot, went down the drain because of a door her father opened and she didn't know how to close it. Because just because you've been molested, just because you've been raped, it doesn't mean that your life is over. Come on. You might have to get some ministry, some deliverance, but you cannot give that thing that much control and much power over your life. Amen. I was molested at an early age. At an early age, but God delivered me and he protected me from getting caught. Because most people that are molested end up molesting somebody. Come on. And so now understand, I want to say this here, because I don't want you to be afraid. Because the Bible says, because of the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed. And then God's word says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us. And then he does what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's the thing you have to acknowledge. You have to recognize, God, there's something going on in me that's not right. I want it out. Most people say, I'm just being real. Real got me in trouble. I'm just being realistic. I'm realistic. I don't want to be realistic. I want to be like Jesus. I want to become the Word of God. Many times Christians know how to play that role. And sometimes we can be some of the most miserable people in the world. As my wife stated, we come to church, and one thing that I always do, Because I would never get up and preach knowing me and her had argued and fussed and fight. I wouldn't do it because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I might not have the strength to stay delivered, but I tell you what, I would repent and say, and I really meant it. Now I repent and say, baby, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, what I said. And maybe that next day, oops, because I needed deliverance. Come on. Some of you are dealing with the same thing. You're saying things as a, you know, you're not even married. You got friends that you don't even want to apologize to them. You say little things to them you ain't got no business saying, and you don't even see them till the next day. Now, how you going to deal with a spouse? Now, some of these things, some of us that are married, we had these things, you know, when we would say we love God, but we had tempers, we had attitudes, we had different personalities. And so you have to understand that just because you got married, these things didn't stop working in you. So this is stuff that you brought into the marriage. There's a message I used to preach. What did you bring to the table? So these are things we bring in the marriage. We can bring, you know, you can bring that old hatefulness you had. I'm just like my mama. Or you can bring, I'm just like my dad, I'm a player. Whatever. But you have to understand that's your foundation. And that's saying it won't last. Your marriage, the enemy will use that. And this is why I want you tonight, we're going to get ready to pray in a little bit. I want you to really think about what's going on in you. Where'd you get it from? Is it God? The things you say to your spouse, the things you say to your friend. Some people have trouble with authority even in the church. So if you have a trouble with authority, you're not married. And then there's some married people that have a trouble with authority. That's a demonic spirit that you're operating in. So you're going to have to tell God, God, I need deliverance. Because it'll always wreck your life. Because the enemy knows the very thing that you can't handle, and he'll continually send it to you. I said earlier about how there's some things what we call soul ties. The average person from 15 to 59, on average, now if it's more, don't raise your hand. Just you and God. You got delivered from it, fine. The average person from 15 to 59, women's had 4 different sex partners. Men's had 7 different sex partners. Now listen to me. That was back in the day. You had Jim, now you married to Bill. Back in the day, you married to Sue, now you married to Susie, okay? But what you have to understand, there was things you told them that the enemy heard you say it, and it locked your soul in, what we call soul ties. There was things you said, things you spoke to them, to give you some of the things, you know, I can't live without you. You'll always have a piece of my heart. And that sounds romantic, don't it? But this joker, this woman, this girl, you've been away from them 6 or 7 years ago. But because you said that at a time of intimacy, the enemy took advantage. And every time you see this guy, even though y'all not married or you see her, something just, come on. Every time you see this person, and even though your spouse might not even know it, but you still got what the world calls feelings. That's soul. That's a demonic soul tie. That's nothing romantic. And what happened was the times you and that person spent together, things you said, they was like, you said, you like a drug.
Thank you for listening to A Touch on Relationship with Pastor Gaston Rivers today. I hope you've been blessed and encouraged and inspired to have the type of relationship that God has for you. Be sure to tune into these broadcasts right here on 99.9 WCC to hear Pastor Rivers as he shares godly wisdom around the world that will truly help and heal your relationship. If you have any questions or private requests, call in at 706-524-8230. Or if you want to support the ministry work of Pastor Rivers, you can do so by going to www.gastonriversministry.org or contact Pastor Rivers by mail at A Touch on Relationship, P.O. Box 106, Waynesboro, Georgia. Once again, thank you for tuning in today's broadcast, and we look forward to hearing and having you join us right here on WCC 99.9 FM.